You lost it. You went too big.
I tried to take off like a Southwest plane.
Yeah.
And just kind of pull the stick all the way back from the runway. Now I know how it feels like to be on a Southwest plane in my throat.
This team is all about effort. Effort is all that matters.
Not execution, to be clear.
Right, nah. Right. Yeah, whatever you do, do it with whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your utmost. You know the Bible verse.
For the Lord.
Yeah.
Speaking Welcome, of lords, God. Our Lord is sick.
Lord Spencer.
I don't want to call him our Lord.
He's kind of like a fumbling, doddering gentry, right?
I view him more as if like Cupid got really old.
Oh God, man.
Hmm.
No, that gives him a bow and arrow.
That's true.
That's way too much power.
But it's got a tip on the end. It's not that dangerous.
Oh,
it's got a big squishy tip on the end.
Just like Spencer.
You know why he's laid up sick. It's because his beloved Texas Longhorns and his beloved Texas A&M Aggies. Oh. Just too much Texas pain for one night.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of football feelings to air out this coming Thursday night at our live show in Houston.
If you
What's
not...
that you say? Live show in Houston?
Yeah. We're going to a British pub in Houston.
Spencer's probably going to do his accent. Tickets are still available. They're $25 to get in the door. Did we say it's $45 if you want to get a shirt as well? I believe.
Mm-hmm. If it's 45, include your t-shirt size in there, and we will get you an extremely comfy Tribeland Banner Society t-shirt from our pals at Homefield Apparel.
We'll probably, I would imagine we'll have some tickets available at the door for those what want them, but maybe don't take the chance.
Listen, given how long it took us to set up non-in-person ticket sales, I wouldn't fucking bet on it.
I wouldn't bet on anything. If I wanted to attend, I'd buy my ticket right now.
Right.
Because this is a perilous situation. Business.
Guys, imagine how much trouble we go to for how little reward when setting up just a podcast recording. Now imagine us trying to set up online credit card processing.
Yeah.
Get your tickets in advance.
We wanted to have these tickets for sale a month ago.
Instead,
we settled for like 6 days early, 6 days ahead of the show.
Because
that's all we could get. So, you know, I don't know. If you want to come, then you should buy a ticket. You know how tickets work.
The bar, I will say, is very good. They host a lot of local metal shows, which is why they were recommended to us, because we are an extremely metal outfit ourselves. It's 18 and up. They dropped the 21 and up just for us. If you want to be like the dad at our Michigan show and bring your teen, he's got to age it up a little bit before this one.
Or get a good fake.
Yeah. We don't know what fake IDs look like. We might be running the door here. Who knows?
We will also announce the next two live shows, maybe three, but at least two. I think probably this week. We definitely won't announce where specifically, like where the venue is, because
nope, we
don't have that planned yet. But we will announce what cities they're going to be in, what dates we're looking at, and that won't change because we can't handle more than one variable at a time. Let's be honest.
So you're saying we're going to try the bold venture of having more than 6 days notice?
Listen, I started trying to plot the Houston show out, 6 weeks out?
Yeah.
And we ended up with tickets for sale 6 days out through the fault of no one on this call, and I'm not shading Spencer. It's not his fault either. I'm going to start plotting our October show tomorrow.
And our November show.
And our November show. I almost spoiled it.
Our secret
December doubleheader.
God, so much look how much podcast business gets done when Spencer's not here. Do you think this podcast would be amazing and efficient and totally what we want it to be if Spencer was just never on it?
I should have put him in a hospital bed and wheeled him in here.
Yeah.
I can't believe, man, I didn't think of that until right now.
Damn.
Of course, he is actually sick, so that's how you can tell him apart.
Also, he would never sit in a dentist chair.
Oh.
Did we ever get confirmation that Hugh Freeze actually did that?
No. Late Saturday night, everyone was tweeting the Liberty account like, show us the coach in the dentist chair, you freaks. Give us the image. And they wouldn't do it. Makes you suspicious, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. What is faith but the absence of things not seen?
That's true.
Wow.
Wait, did I say that? I said that backwards, right?
It, close enough.
Faith in the evidence of things. Shit.
Yeah, you all get it.
Well, I...
That's just the King James version.
It's fine.
I can't help my raisin.
I feel we must start this recap episode by letting Jason brag on his sweet boy, his son, the impressive gunslinger better known as Joe Burrow.
Number one in passer rating and completion percentage among quarterbacks with at least 45 throws to this point in the season. Tied for number one in touchdown to interception ratio at 9-1. Number two in total passing yards against FBS teams. Number two in yards per game against Power 5 teams. Tied for number one in total touchdowns. Six straight games completing at least 62% of his passes. The LSU Fighting Bengal Baby Tigers offense is number two in S and P+. Joe Burrow, Heisman favorite.
How many passing yards does Joe Burrow have at this point?
Like 900. I didn't write down numbers, just facts. Facts only.
Okay. Because
maybe 800, like 1,000.
I feel reasonably good that he's gonna break the single season record.
What is LSU's record like? Is it like 1,700? I'm gonna guess Mettenberger.
So I'll give you the number. The number is 3,347 passing yards in a single season.
It's either Mettenberger or Russell, right?
Incorrect.
Wow.
Mettenberger is third on this list. Jamarcus Russell is second. Holly, Matt, you want to hazard a guess?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Perfect.
It is like Spencer's here.
Sorry, can I tell you what I was doing?
Sure.
I was applying the like 70s disco A Chorus Line filter to your Sad Vols Husky to put it up in our Instagram stories.
No, I appreciate you doing that. Never mind.
No, that's good too.
It looks amazing. I'm gonna send it to you guys right now.
That's a better use of time than anything we got going on here.
If Wikipedia is correct, Rohan Davey is the single season.
Rohan Davey.
Yeah.
Wow. How long would it have taken us to guess him?
You would have had to work a little bit. Yeah. My favorite part is that Danny Etling is ninth on this list.
Shit, yeah.
Well, yeah, man. He's a good quarterback.
Apparently the ninth best in LSU history from a single season perspective.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Russell is tied with Matt Mock for most passing touchdowns in a single season. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, all those records are being shattered as we, on a weekly basis.
It kind of feels that way.
Yep. As always, what starts as comedy just turns into a documentary here on this program.
We don't tell lies because we're not smart enough to, basically.
Now that's a lawyer you can trust.
Yeah, man, he looked fucking great against Texas. I didn't expect that at all. I mean, I expected him to look good.
Why are we all surprised at the vaunted LSU offense?
Well, vaunted, I mean, I think it's just because we're... LSU.
Hey, why do you think they're called airboats?
mm-hmm. I mean, I know we've never seen a Big 12 defense get shredded like that before, mm-hmm. but it was still pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Decent props to Texas's offense as well for keeping them in the game against a defense that looked like it was still pretty terrifying. And I don't know, Texas, if you have cloning ability, maybe just go ahead and get Sam Ellinger a clone right now, because there were several points in that game where I was like, oh, he's going to die. This is the part where they're going to rupture him.
He enjoys physical combat. That much is clear.
Speaking of combat, Michigan, new defender of our nation's borders.
What, it's their duty now?
Yeah, if you beat army, you got to take their post.
Okay, and Michigan is the one school where they're like, we've been looking forward to this for a long time, right? Like I have some military theory to apply.
Good. I have some documents here.
I would like to shout out the local Michigan broadcast, the radio play-by-play guys, who, according to alert Twitter user Irm, that's at IRM stream on Twitter, apparently kept calling Army's team the Army. Once again, we speak of Michigan fighting the troops, and it just manifests into existence.
Think about how confused. Like, there's like a War of the Worlds scenario there, where somebody who hasn't been paying attention listening to the radio, and he's like, "I knew it. This is why. I knew the government was going to come for us. And they're starting with Michigan football.
Here comes the Army. The Army chewing up terrain as it plows over the Michigan boys."
I do like that Army's brand of, shall we say, clock metabolism is so ingrained at this point that when they got the ball back with, I want to say, a little under 3 minutes left in the game, I was really like, I don't know if they will have enough time left to get set up for to get into field goal position, which would have given them the chance to win the game. And I was almost correct. I came very close to them being like, yeah, sorry, just ran out of time. You know, I mean, this big man, cruise ship needs time to turn.
That's what MREs stand for, minutes ready to eat.
You were basically right, because they had to pass, which meant that drive was all fucked up. Right.
Yeah.
Like, if they'd been allowed to run, like, 7 running plays instead of that one pass, would have been totally fine.
Please look out on the internet for salty Michigan fans who want to talk to you about fumble luck and the almost certainly bad whistle that brought back a Michigan touchdown. Please remind them that Michigan needed 2 overtimes.
Oh, now Michigan wants to talk about a whistle.
Michigan needed 2 overtimes to beat Army, needed a fake punt, and needed, in the end, I think the turnovers were even 3-3. So, like, y'all can just calm down. This, a lot of people want to compare this to the Oklahoma Army game last year. This is different because A, it was out in full view of everyone. Thank you, Fox. and B, because, like, Army didn't, this was not the best Army game any of us have ever seen them play. This was not like, oh man, Army got,
it's definitely my favorite Army game that I've ever seen them play.
It's way up there, but it was not like there were plenty of mistakes, plenty of times where Army was not doing the things they were supposed to do. And like Oklahoma basically, I think if memory serves, Oklahoma scored on almost every drive, if not every drive, against Army last year. That was not
Oklahoma
the case for Michigan.
Oklahoma sprinted up and down the field.
Right.
And whereas Michigan did not.
I mean, like, Jason, you were talking, I think, in our Slack about the inability to block by Michigan.
Yeah, man. Like, they couldn't handle these fucking, like, no Army defensive linemen are going to be drafted. Michigan State and Ohio
State.
Not that
kind
of
draft, y'all.
And Wisconsin. Well, yeah, that's true. They were our.
No, okay. Don't email me.
No, they all
know what the Army is.
They also won't be drafted. They're already in the volunteer service.
I said, don't email me. I know what the Army is. Unlike some Fox announcers who kept using submarine metaphors. Submarine metaphors.
I swear that was on purpose, though. Like, there was
my problem. Do they know what the Army is?
Gus Johnson was using a few too many nautical metaphors, so where I'm like, okay, he's doing this on purpose. Because there was another one as well. But, like, yeah, I mean, Michigan.
Is he doing it to tweak people, or is he like, this is Army adjacent, just like college football is adjacent to the NFL, what we'd really rather be talking
about? I'd tweak people with it. Like, when Army threw that pick on the goal line, I'd be like, oh, they really tossed Michigan a life preserver there. Just be a total asshole.
I'm sure the Army has life preservers. I doubt the army just lets people drown because we're like, nope, we don't touch water. You're lost. You're in the blue stuff. Blue stuff is
lava.
Yeah,
the Navy basically exists due to the Flores Lava Treaty of 1812.
Army looks at the map and says, blue, ugh. We don't go there. Only green and brown for me. Yuck. You had an army man a cup of water and he's like,
get that out of my sight.
Dumps it on the floor.
I eat butter.
Nasty. Sick trash. Give me milk.
You know who could have used some milk?
The army, they got a bunch of dudes who literally have weight limits and they have to wake up and run like 75 miles every morning. And like, you know, they're gonna work like designing fucking bridges and Michigan can't block them. I mean, you know, granted, every Big Ten player designs bridges, of course, because they're all genius engineers. But these are bridges that are going to be bombed, right? So it's a different kind of bridge. When you're doing that, you're not supposed to be good at pass rushing as well. That's three skills. You're supposed to only have two.
Anyway, let's tell us about for a second. Is Michigan bad?
I don't think Michigan is bad. I think Michigan. God's honest truth. I think between the offensive line and Shea Patterson, I don't think they actually trust their offense to do that much. Like, I am not a smart football person, but if you go back and watch clips of this game, it feels like Shea Patterson never moves to the second read. I never saw him progress once. He doesn't even like pretend to. He doesn't even do that thing where he's like, okay, I'm going to look here. And I'm not going to throw that pass, but I'm going to do that to move a safety or hold a linebacker. Like, it's very much, I haven't played Madden in a while. I feel like I remember these plays. I'm just going to throw it to these receivers based on what the, like.
But we respect that, right?
We respect it, but we're not trying to win a Big Ten title. We're barely trying to get a podcast out.
At this point, I feel like we could win a Big Ten title.
I've been
to Indianapolis more recently.
I like the part where Ryan was like, I don't think they're bad. They just have problems, like at quarterback and offensive line.
Well, look, I think on defense, the defensive side of it, I'm willing to sort of wave away because playing Army sucks. Everybody knows that. And they got stops when they needed to. It's not like they were consistently just getting bowled over. And they did get fucked on the one
defense played fine
fumble return, and they made a goal line stand. Like, these things happened. So put that to one side. I don't know what was exciting that Michigan did on offense? Fumble a lot and sometimes recover it.
Yeah.
Okay,
that added a certain zest.
Okay,
to the proceedings.
I was in favor of that as a viewer.
It was particularly. It's unfortunate from a neutral perspective that this was happening at the same time Ohio State was playing Cincinnati, a team that we all, like, we thought, or maybe just those of us who want weird things to happen thought, oh, that's going to be a test. That, you know, Cincinnati, very highly ranked defense last year, looked very comfortable against UCLA week one. UCLA sucks, but that's a separate conversation. And Ohio State had no problem at all. None.
Sure.
So,
like, if you look at this schedule, you say, oh, both Michigan and Ohio State will get some exercise.
Right.
But Army got all the exercise.
Took a constitutional.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure is an Army ship. Shout out Rod Gilmore.
The good news is it doesn't really matter. All you technically had to do was win this game, Michigan. And I was thinking about this today. We've had seasons where at this point in the year, or even a couple weeks later, we're like, wow, Michigan looks fucking sharp. Their defense is just tenacious and their offense does what it needs to do. It's not like in those seasons that pans out. So I am willing to entertain some twisted, dumbass logic that Michigan looking iffy now maybe means good things down the line. I'm not a smart man. You shouldn't trust me with your money. I hope Bancroft's not listening to this.
Nebraska, Colorado.
Except when it comes to buying podcast tickets.
All right,
folks.
Guys, I've done everything I can.
Nebraska, Colorado.
Nebraska, Colorado.
Fuck.
This game rules,
folks,
first of all.
Did we, speaking of manifesting things into the real, we spent a good bit of time last week both on our website, bannersociety.com, or afootballwebsite.com, and on this here podcast talking about the time Colorado just created this rivalry out of want to, just walked right up and spit in the big old Nebraska Huskers' eye. And then they invited Nebraska to play them in Boulder, and Nebraska took over Colorado's home stadium. And that just meant that there were that many more red-clad sad Huskers streaming for the exits when what happened? Happened.
Colorado came back from 17 down and won in overtime is what happened.
How late were they down 17?
That's like until the fourth quarter, basically. We were in the top whatever in the read option, which goes out every Sunday morning. Subscribe to our newsletter. I think Spencer wrote that portion about how Colorado was exemplified just trying enough only when you have to, right? Like saving all your effort for when you need it. Nebraska
it really
tuckered
is like
itself
Spencer
out
here, even though he's not.
The turning point, which we have an article on this at our website as well, was it kind of got overlooked, which was kind of funny. The flea flicker, Colorado's 90-something yard, 96-whatever-yard flea flicker touchdown from the end zone, which I have never seen that before. We couldn't find another example of that happening. It's a deeply crazy thing to even try.
Yeah, if you know of a longer one, email compliance@bannersociety.com because I want to see it.
Yeah, like we sent out the call. The longest one we could find was UNC did like an 89-yarder. This was considerably longer than that, and it worked. We found, in Alex's article, he found the Cleveland Browns tried one.
Yeah.
Back into their own end zone, and RG3 throws a pick into triple coverage. It did not go for a touchdown. Of course, it was the Browns. But yeah, this ended up being kind of the turning point. And it ended up really mattering. Like, they probably would not have won if they didn't have the insane gall to throw the ball backward into their own end zone. And yeah, we should remember that play. So let's remember that play as we have online.
I didn't see anything about the metal cups and the mayhem they did or did not cause. Did anybody else?
I think that means there were no survivors.
Yeah.
Ah, excellent. That certainly is what seems to have happened based on the Nebraska Twitter I observed last night.
This was bizarrely maybe the most normal thing that happened in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
No.
Having been awake for the dead-ass end of Pac-12 play last night, I can confirm.
Did you stay awake for Cal Washington?
I'm pretty sure I did, yeah.
Wow.
Don't be like me.
That shit ended at what, 5 a.m.?
Yeah, something like that.
Spectacular.
Time had ceased to have meaning at that point for me.
That's fucked up. All right. So some normal things. That's fucked up that it happened to you.
Ah.
To be clear, not that you did it. It's more just like you were.
Sorry, I let you go to sleep to be with your child, Dick.
No, I'm not blaming you, but it's sort of like if when you read about a roller coaster getting stuck in a loop. And you're like, oh, man, they're up there for 6 hours upside down? That fucking blows. That was your experience. Some normal things happened in the Pac-12 this week. Utah won, even though they struggled a little bit early. Oregon and Washington State won. Blah, blah, blah. Hawaii beat a Pac-12 opponent. That's becoming normal at this point. But the rest of it's just nonsense garbage.
Did any of our little squad take Hawaii beating two Pac-12 opponents?
I don't think we listed it as an option, but it definitely was like
either.
After they beat Arizona. Yeah.
It wasn't officially an option, but I think we did say that if like Spencer gets an unofficial bonus point for each additional.
Yeah. I think it was only a one pointer. So I don't know, like What to y'all is more confusing? Cal beating Washington or USC thumping Stanford? We'll put UCLA losing at home to San Diego State to the side because, like,
I forgot about
no, that's normal. San Diego State is guaranteed one Pac-12 win per season, and yep.
As somebody who watched
Rocky,
so I didn't watch
Long has a way.
Yeah.
Has a way about him.
I didn't watch the Cal Washington or the Stanford USC games. So you two just tell me which of these I should be more I should understand more, and the other one you should just be like, "Nah, man, world's a fucked up place." Sorry.
The Cal Washington game, I kind of feel like you have to toss out due to circumstances. I'm willing to revisit this from confirmation in the data set later down the line, but there was just too much weird shit going on. You kind of have to take that one with a deer lick of salt, in my opinion. Jason, what do you think?
I think Cal Washington, for one thing, you have such similar teams that you're going to have such a small data set worth of plays within the football game. Like, you know, neither team is going to be taking 100 snaps on offense and all that. You know, a couple of bounces can decide the thing. And then you add in Washington's home advantage being whittled down to, like, I think they said 10,000 fans, right? Like, once you add in the insane 3-hour weather delay and Chris Peterson having to come out like a wrestling promo to say, "Hey, everybody, come back in the stadium, please, please." Like, Washington's home advantage was basically gone, other than, you know, Cal had, I don't know, been awake a long time.
Do you know how many plays Cal ran in this game?
7.
56. 56.
So more than that.
That's so few plays. So alarmingly few plays. But
both of these teams, the goal is to do as little football as possible, and Cal proved better at that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
No, that's true.
USC Stanford, to me, that's the one that it's not just surprising today.
Right.
Like, that's surprising going back to the shit, like the end of last season, because USC is going to start 3-3 at best was a thing that everyone just locked in. Like, and then they lost their starting quarterback. And now they're 2-0. And will probably be favored in most of their next 3 or 4 games until they go to Notre Dame. And then nothing all that difficult after that.
What's going to happen if they beat Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, USC getting to 5-1 and then, you know, 9-3, not at all impossible. What I'm trying to do here is hype them up so that, you know, then we can get back on course.
Well, how have we somehow turned into, like, in the span of, I don't know, by the end of September, USC could have gone from that thing you were saying before the season to, like, oh, we have to talk about them in the playoff because they beat Stanford, Utah, and Washington. Or or they could just, like, win one of those games and start, like, if they beat Utah, it feels dumb to say any conference is done. But it will be a very hard case to make at that point that, unless USC is the team, I guess? I don't know. This is fucking weird.
I mean, I would bet on USC making the playoff before I'd bet on Utah making the playoff.
That's so disrespectful.
I know how insane that sounds. Listen, I like Utah. It's nothing against Utah, but is Utah...
It is against Utah. It's definitely against Utah.
Are you going to tell me Utah is going to go 13-0? Come on. USC at least has the talent to do something like that. I realize how elitist this sounds and, like, how big of a failure USC is, and, like, it's not going to happen, but, like, Utah's not going to go 13-0.
If they beat Idaho State and USC. Okay. I know. If they beat Idaho State and if they get out of the if they
now
beat
who's
USC,
disrespecting Utah?
If they beat USC and they're undefeated, their remaining games they have 3 road games left. Those are on the road against Oregon State, Washington, and Arizona. The remaining home games are Wazoo, Arizona State, Cal, UCLA, and Colorado.
Sure.
I like 10-2. Okay.
What the hell?
What is wrong with 10-2?
There's nothing wrong with it. It just feels very strange.
I was what the helling the universe.
Okay, Jason, who would you take at this point to go undefeated? Utah or Maryland?
Utah.
I like that I at least pushed you a little bit.
Thank you. Like, I mean, I'm not the Utah hater. I'm aware listen, I know as soon as this episode goes out, my Twitter mentions are going to be just a cesspool of reminding me which conference they're in.
I was
going to
say, do you
want to
go ahead
affiliation.
And mention they're in a power conference? Just
Utah's in a power conference, unlike BYU, a non-power, which means Tennessee has lost to multiple non-powers for the first time since 1958 because BYU is a non-power and Utah is a power. However, I realize I'm now again in trouble with BYU's metal Santa dad, not a guy I want to anger. So I'm really just stepping in it all over. But the state of Utah, I love it. Weber State, Utah State, Southern Utah, the Thunderbirds, best state in the country.
Wow. Can we remind everybody for the record that Holly doesn't care about these Tennessee, like, you're not going to tweak Holly with these Tennessee losses.
As we reviewed last week, if you really want to make me mad, ask me if I'm doing okay. Like, I would be on the floor crying after a Tennessee football loss. Once again, I've seen my own quarterback run into his own goalpost and knock himself to the ground during an SEC championship game. You can't kill me.
The other way to make Holly mad is suggest that she's not real West Virginia.
Man, okay, listen. I went through a lot yesterday. There were things I was prepared to put up with, and there were things I was not prepared to put up with, Don.
Yeah.
My grandfather's name was Don, by the way, and he would have slapped the shit out of you, Don.
All grandfathers did it at a certain point in American history. It was a good time to slap.
Go ears.
Those times have changed.
Slapping generation.
Just be over here laying down credentials one after the other if anybody fucking needs anything. Anyway, let's go back to the important thing. Yeah, no, you can't. Tennessee football can't hurt me. I kind of have a... hearkening back to a similar discussion that we had early in the morning yesterday at work, I don't really know, much as I don't know why yesterday's USF loss was the one that got people insane, I'm not quite sure, apart from the stupidity of that one play, you know the one, why people are super worked up now about Tennessee football, except maybe, did you not see last week? Why is this worse?
Can either of you name the five teams, the five Power Five teams, I should say, who, as of right now...
Utah is a Power Five.
Are 0-2.
Cal?
No. 0-2.
Oh.
0-2, Tennessee.
Yep.
Oh, the other one.
Yep.
Georgia Tech?
No.
Oh, right.
Florida. Is it Florida State?
No. Florida State narrowly avoided being on this list.
I'm so
Oregon,
angry about
Oregon
that.
State.
Oregon State.
Not Kansas. Kansas won.
Nope. I hear teeth sucking. Is this going to upset us?
No. No. UCLA. We've already talked about them.
All right, them, yeah.
Two others on here. Miami and Vanderbilt.
Oh, God damn.
I bring that up for two reasons. One, the state of Tennessee has two Power 5 programs. They're both 0-2. 0-2 in admittedly very different ways.
Memphis just holding it down out there.
You know, Vanderbilt 0-2 because they opened with Georgia. Terrible idea. Should have gotten out of that. Should have come down. Should have faked an illness. Whatever it took. And then...
Yeah, they should have gotten their dad to write a doctor's note.
And then played angry Purdue, although... It's really gratifying to me that Vanderbilt found a way to lose to a team where the quarterback at one point lined up behind the guard instead of the center, and the center snapped the ball all the same.
It's called misdirection, Ryan.
Wow.
Miami, on the other hand,
they had to face a national championship winning head coach.
That's true. That's a really good point. Yeah, I just want Miami fans to know that you're on this list with Oregon State, UCLA, Vanderbilt, and a Tennessee team that everybody is aghast by.
So outstanding.
Just think about that. Have a great day.
So on Tennessee, the Phil Fulmer taking over the program idea, which...
What a great thing to have up on our site this week.
Is it even an idea at this point?
Well,
what excellent foresight on the part of someone.
I'm referring to it as an idea because it goes back a month or so when we first started talking about, like, hey, Godfrey, you should write this.
Right.
You know, and, like, it eventually went up on our subreddit because, hey, dear podcast reader, you are going to have to subscribe to us on every social media platform except Facebook. It's like we did this on purpose. But, like, it goes up. And then Tennessee loses to BYU, and it's like, shit, is the Fulmer thing even far enough? Like, to, so like,
is
I had the
National
idea
Guard
today,
gonna
like,
be called in?
Can we get Johnny Majors to take the job?
Wow,
can we go back
Jesus
even
Christ.
Further?
Wow, if he can lead a sort of like campaign.
He's what
of,
80? He's 85.
He's 84. He's 84.
That's fine.
All fine.
His last coaching job coached Pitt in 1996 to a 4-7 record.
Ah,
that
interesting.
That might be good for Tennessee this year.
Wow.
Although I will say that Pitt team started 1-1, so.
See? Momentum is what it's all. Wouldn't you take that?
Yeah.
Who was before that? Bill Battle. Mm-hmm. Doug Dickey, Boyden, Jim McDonald.
Heath Shuler's still alive.
Nealon really came
He's
and went.
He's definitely dead, but he might be encased in a living statue.
I mean, Nealon left and returned, what, twice?
Just like Jesus. Yeah.
So who's to say a third isn't in the cards? What about Zora Clevenger?
Oh, that's my favorite name.
J.D. Dupree? Let's give that guy a shot.
I'm not hearing you say Deuce Gruden.
What if this trends? Listen, the Grudens have enough problems over the last few days.
Like what?
Someone had a tweet like, "This is why I love college football. No Antonio Brown."
Yeah.
It's like, do you know how many dumber things we have than Antonio Brown?
Well, if the point is that, like, college football doesn't have, like, attention hogs who make questionable choices, like, A, look through the last, like, go through the Heisman list for the last 10 years and see how many you can pick out there. B, remember that Miami's head coach literally took another job, did the press conference, and then took the Miami, like, please don't do this. Please. We're all
like
dumb.
Yeah, if it's people who do all kind of shenanigans to get out of contracts they don't like, that's every college football coach every 3 years.
Mike Gundy has interviewed for every mall opening ever. Ever. Every Hot Topic, every Baby Gap manager position, he's interviewed for all of them just to let Oklahoma State know, hey, this could always turn. Always.
We have entire universities who do this shit. Like, just to join other groups of universities.
The only difference between college football and the NFL is that Jimmy Sexton would have gotten this done quicker. Basically. And I will say the video production quality is not usually as good in college football.
Yeah, we don't have, man. That is the one thing I will give them. Whoever did the our players have to resort to like Twitter teens with recruiting edits with a Z in their avies, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
That's who we have doing our visuals. This was an entire step up. I want to apply to be one of the like 9 people hovering Antonio Brown all times with a camera. He's got like a fucking cloud of drone cameras around him.
Yeah, I'm picturing it all being done by robots.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Big Ten Championship and how it's definitely going to be Maryland versus Wisconsin.
Maryland, of course, the country's best offense is 71 points per game. That is, of course, as Bill Connelly reminded us frequently until his untimely demise, the most important stat is points.
Facing Wisconsin, the country's best defense at 0.0 points per game.
Country's best defense yet to give up any points, and probably not going to do so for a while because their upcoming opponents include Kent State, Michigan, Illinois, Northwestern.
Just through Michigan.
Like, so we tweeted this out from the account, like, so who's going to score on, who's going to score on Wisconsin next, you know, first? And most of the replies breezed past Michigan to say Kent State. It's like Michigan. Yep, that's another goose egg. It'll definitely be Kent State. So either way, something's got to give here, folks. Maryland, Mike Loxley with the unstoppable engine that is the Speedy Turtle versus Wisconsin, the impenetrable wall of cheese colliding in Indianapolis. It's a big splattery mess.
There was a, I forget who it was, but somebody had posted a tweet basically saying that Maryland had not had a quarterback pass for 300 yards in a game since October, I think it was 2013, until they just until they
God
just,
damn.
Yeah. I mean, look, Wisconsin, on the other hand, unstoppable.
The immovablest object.
Elsewhere in the Big Ten West. So this was one of the dominant distractions of late Saturday night. Minnesota is continuing its stupid journey through teams you don't want to play after going to overtime against a Dakota State, was now going to overtime against Fresno State in Fresno, you stupid morons. But what everyone was distracted by was PJ Flex fucking create a player wardrobe. Like, not even, it's more like,
I didn't even notice the pants until today.
These are like the things you unlock in a Tiger Woods golf game.
It's like the shit you unlock when you're a level 2 and you're just like, oh, I got something new, I better wear it. Like, do you want to wear it? No, right. But it's not default. That's it. This bizarre, like, every garment he wears is like boutique, one of a kind. Like, there's an article about these dudes who are making a poncho for Young Thug, and like it took them a week and they had to go through this whole process, and they're like, oh my God, I hope he wears it. He puts it on for like 10 minutes and then he's like, okay, that's the end of the poncho. That is PJ Fleck. Every single thing he wears, no one will ever wear a garment like this again. This one
was
like,
we had a lot of people in our mentions arguing that it was a quarter zip. It may have begun life as a quarter zip and did indeed contain a quarter zip. However, it was cut like a fucking tabard, like he was about to go LARPing in the woods after this.
That shit was a tunic.
Yeah. The best, I did ask via Banner Society Twitter, where you should all be following us, like and subscribe, what this fabric item was wrapped around his body. And the best answer I got was the reader who said tactical smock. And the problem we have now is that they beat Fresno State in the most uproarious fashion, and now it's his lucky tactical smock, and we're going to have to look at that thing a lot.
He'll find something weird, and he always pairs these with, like, pants. They look to me like some kind of martial arts pants.
They look like the pants that Robert Downey Jr. wears as Iron Man to fit over his Iron Man boots, like the bootcut yoga pants. No, at one point this year, he wore culottes, I swear to God.
When I first tuned in, I thought he was wearing capris, because these things ride up his leg constantly.
Put all this in the context of European golfer who has a great one day at the Masters and then falls out of contention, and that's the look. You've got the look right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's okay. Jesper Parnevik as fuck.
Mm. It's a compelling argument.
Yeah, man. Just FSU were obliged to note that you didn't. You did as your. I don't remember if this was a thing they made for social media or a thing somebody just got a picture of in the facility. But there's this image that's like, find a way to beat Louisiana Monroe. And it's clearly like just you rotate the name of the opponent, whatever. But it was an accurate portrayal of what Florida State's day would look like against, like, in many ways a carbon copy of the Boise State game. Just so stupid.
Find a way to hope they miss an extra point.
And they did.
They did.
And they did. As we also said in this week's top whatever, which you can find on the website or in the newsletter if you subscribe to it. Yeah, just go. Just If you're the underdog, go for these, please. Don't take extra points. Don't settle for field goals. Don't pass up fourth and short from reasonable parts of the field. Just throw haymakers. It's not worth it to extend the game and let the team that's better than you on paper and probably playing at home get more chances for the math to work. Just, like, don't, please.
Just try to win.
Yeah.
You have the depth disadvantage.
That'd be new.
The longer the game goes on, the more of their good players they get to play.
And nobody's going to be pissed at you if it doesn't work, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, coaches who are scared to be great, this is the one time when you're allowed to fuck up. When you go for two and it doesn't work. That's a free mistake.
Like, if you're on the other side of this, if you're Willie Taggart, Jim Harbaugh, and you are the one who makes that bold move and it fucks up, like, yeah, you're going to hear it. And that's just how it is, because, like, your fans are going to think you shouldn't have been in a position to have to try to do that against an inferior opponent in the first place. They're going to be pissed that you couldn't pull it off. They're going to be pissed that you didn't have faith in blah, 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 blah. But if you're not in that position, yeah, go ahead. It's not your money. Double down. I don't care what the cards say. It's not your money.
It's not your... You will be employed by a different university within 2 years anyway. Who cares? Try to win.
Right. Categories.
Cat said, storm the barricades of hell, goddammit, ULM.
I mean... Then there's the other side of the coin where you are a national championship winning coach who is locked in a battle with a tough opponent, but you accidentally left all your weapons at home. And by weapons, I mean timeouts. Of course, we're talking about Les Miles, who burned all of his timeouts in the second half against Coastal Carolina. Early in the fourth quarter, like with 13 plus minutes left in a game that they were where Kansas scored on their first possession and never again throughout the rest of the goddamn game. Les Miles,
it's
just
important to be true to yourself.
He has no choice, right?
Like, Les Miles, either you use all of your timeouts as fast as possible, or you use none of them.
He's like, it's like a dog that gets into the kitchen when you're making Thanksgiving dinner. It's like, boy, he really didn't pace himself eating the entire fucking turkey, did he? No, because that's not how Beethoven works. He just eats the whole goddamn turkey as fast as possible. He's going to throw it up later. You know that, right?
I have the power to control time. I don't know why I would... why I would put a restrictor plate on that power. I choose to. Oh, power's gone. So, Les Miles lost to the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. Things have taken a turn in the grand scheme. It's not unusual for Kansas. Is unusual for Les Miles.
Just so stupid.
I love it. I love it. He's true to himself.
He is. Unless either of y'all have any other games you want to hit on, I feel like we have one big game we have to talk about. That's really a preview.
What's that?
Elastico! I actually want to start with a angry rant here against the Associated Press and the voters who participated.
What happened, Ryan?
And their bullshit poll. They had the opportunity to give us a ranked on both sides, Elastico. Iowa State entered the preseason ranked, won their first game of the year in week one. Doesn't matter how or who they played. They did win. Was off week two and somehow tumbled in the rankings out altogether. And now we've been deprived of a thing that, to the best of my knowledge, Jason Holly, correct me if I'm wrong, we have never had a game between Iowa and Iowa State where both teams were ranked at the time. Is that correct?
I'm
Okay,
I'm looking this up.
All right.
You gotta ask us this shit ahead of time, man.
Okay, the wiki for this rivalry is unhelpful.
Yes, I did some manual searching. First of all, it's important to note that it's actually not that hard.
You did some manual searching.
So according to Sports Reference, Iowa State has only been ranked once ever against Iowa, and that was in 1978.
Okay.
And yes, it's never happened.
It's easy because Iowa State's only been ranked in the AP poll 50 times total. That's not 50 years. That's 50 weeks over the entirety of their existence as a program that has played since 1895. But they just fucked it. Like, they just straight up fucked us here. They did. Washington gets to stay ranked at 1-1. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. I think that
shows that everyone was sleepy.
Yeah, they clocked out too early. Couldn't handle it. If you can't wait to turn in your ballot in the morning, you're not in football season shape yet.
Mm-mm. It's frustrating because Iowa State is literally the first in other receiving votes. So they're 26th, and that's what I'm calling them officially.
Oh, fuck, we're that close? Now
yeah.
I'm mad too.
Yeah. It's especially funny because the team they're just ahead of by 1 point is Cal. Cal can't get fucking ranked.
Who beat number 23?
God.
Fucking.
Also, we're not going to talk about it. UNC not being ranked at this point is kind of odd and stupid, arguably.
Ageist? I think it's ageist.
That's what it is. They love these young Tom Hermans more than the beloved Mac Browns and their ancient wisdom that they have to share.
The Associated Press famously skewing young.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely livid.
Well, so like that sucks, but the main thing here is Ames Day El Asico, the greatest Iowa State rivalry in the entire country, is getting the spotlight, the biggest spotlight of a college football weekend. It is beating out dozens of other college football games that people will watch. Don't look at which those are because that might make it slightly less impressive. There's just tons of excellent games it's beating, just trust me. And like, that's awesome. This is one of our favorite rivalries because it's terrible.
There are other choices where ranked teams are playing unranked teams, for instance. Y'all still there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Like, yeah.
I was waiting.
Oh no, those aren't, like Jason said, those aren't important. It's about Ames.
Yeah, like fuck TCU Purdue. That's not game day material. Next weekend is very strange. Very, very strange. El Asico deserves this.
I think it's important to note that as to get everybody prepped, this is technically the most potentially blood week a week can be. Because you have no ranked teams playing each other. And therefore, you have maximum potential for whether or not these games are going to pan out that way, just in terms of like who has the most to lose at the table. It's everyone this week. So that's good.
We could technically have 25 ranked teams losing to unranked teams.
For the record, that would be my favorite week in college football forever. It's bad for the team I root for, but fine with it.
Yeah, take one for the good of everyone. We have if you're going to Ames to attend, which I'm sure everyone is, we have a reader posted on the Fullcast subreddit under the handle "I Taste of Despair," an Ames tourist guide. Ames is a nice enough town that you can forget its congressional representative is a full-blown Nazi. I doubt that will be covered on game day. It's a college town and mid-sized city, so it's got a plethora of bars. Cool. Everyone loves most popular place to grab a bite is Hickory Park. Definitely overrated, but the other barbecue options are trash. The ice cream is fantastic. Great Plains is a place for pizza. It's been around forever. Also, Ames has great water.
Hmm.
We'll get to we'll sit on that. Holly, I know. Just wait on it. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm gonna wait on this because I feel like I need Spencer here for backup because no one's gonna believe me.
That's it. This is a teaser, folks.
Yeah. We have things to say about Ames Water.
I have an Ames Water story that I will hang on to for the moment.
Do y'all know about Bush Latte?
Is that a player what? Or a drink?
Yeah, is that so? This is beer, coffee.
I was gonna say, oh yeah, he had like 80 yards last week.
So in the Reddit, in the aforementioned Reddit, it's either that one or another one about Iowa State. We have many conversations about Iowa State on the Fullcast subreddit. There is a reference to Bush Latte, which is just Bush Light in a new can that implies, nay, specifically says, drinking for breakfast, it's the coolest.
Oh, wow.
And it is I just thought you should know that that's a real thing. Especially that's because beautiful. Bush Light is, I guess, strongly associated with Iowa State for reasons that I don't fully comprehend.
Sure.
What is there to fully comprehend?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, on this show, not a goddamn thing.
Well, they have great water. Or do they?
We'll find out.